You know what this is like? It's like those old movies we both love.
Now I'm gonna tell you my whole plan, and then I'm gonna come up with some absurd and convoluted way to kill you, and you'll find an equally convoluted way to escape.
Sounds good to me.
Well, this ain't that kind of movie.
Hello and welcome to another movie podcast. My name is Oscar. With me today is...
Luke.
And?
Ralph.
Bob wasn't looking at me. I was pointing at you first.
I know you were. I saw you.
You're deviating from the norm of making me go.
It doesn't matter. This is episode number 60. And what we typically do on the show is that we review three films, usually three new films. In this case, two new ones, one marathon pick. We'll explain what that is later. The movies today will be White Boy Rick, which is in theaters right now. A Netflix original movie that just got released last week? Into your mouth.
2 weeks from now?
Like a two weeks ago?
Bleach. Anyway, it's on Netflix. It's a live action
adaptation
of a show and a manga, right? And we'll conclude our show with our marathon pick, which is a movie from the 70s called Duel. And we'll talk about that then. Feedback can always be sent to podmoviecast@gmail.com. Our website is at otherpodcast.com to find everything we do there, which is bonus episodes, which is something we do monthly. We choose a title to release bonusly for those who donate to our show. And today's bonus, or I should say this month's bonus, is The Predator, written and directed by Shane Black. And that's out in theaters right now. And 5 months ago, we are releasing this one now. It's Isle of Dogs by Wes Anderson. So that's what you could have gotten 5 months ago. So check that out over at our website. Same thing with marathons. Are you here?
I'm here.
Okay, cool. Same thing with marathons. We just finished one. We just started another that Luke started up for us. What is that marathon that we're going to start today?
We are watching three Steven Spielberg movies apiece.
It's four.
Four?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, four. It's very ambitious of us.
Yes. And we're doing like
Why don't you tell me the name of the movie?
We're doing a thing where we are like ascending order thing, right?
We're from the first works to the latest works.
But not like we're not doing all of them. Obviously, the guy's done like 40 movies.
Yeah, we're doing like one movie we've never seen.
Right.
Then one movie from the 70s, 80s, no. 80s, 90s, and 2000.
Right. Yeah. Well, we just like pick like the later, middle, and basically. So that way we can like encompass this director's work. And we chose an easy one that everyone can relate to. A lot of people have watched a lot of these titles. Some of them haven't. Duel today, a lot of people still haven't heard of that movie. So hopefully we'll get people into it. At least be aware of some of these other movies that may have passed through people's blind spots, so to speak. And but usually what we do also, before we get into our first review of the evening, we're going to talk about recent discoveries. We've all seen one movie. Two of us have seen two movies. And then I've seen three other movies after that. So we're going to start today with Peppermint, right? That's the one we all seen?
Yes.
Luke, I'm going to read it to you, and then you tell me what you thought of the movie. Peppermint is 5 years after her husband and daughter are killed in a senseless act of violence. A woman comes back from self-imposed exile to seek revenge against those responsible and the system that let them go free. What do you think, bro?
The justice system?
Yeah, justice system.
That is the part of the movie.
Jennifer Garner is that Peppermint.
Yeah.
She's pepperminty.
Movie sucked. It wasn't that great. Not very memorable. They only mentioned like peppermint once, and it's in the form of ice cream.
The title does bug me, but it's by far not the biggest problem.
No.
I don't get why it's called peppermint at all.
Peppermint vengeance or something.
I don't understand.
Peppermint with a twist.
Does peppermint taste like vengeance? Am I not getting a reference that I don't?
It happened during Christmas.
Oh, that's it. Peppermint's the cinnamon. I say is more powerful than
Psycho.
So did what?
So did Psycho.
I don't get it. Oh.
We're just talking about when the movie took place. Well, Psycho took place during Christmas.
Did it really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's desert.
At the beginning of Psycho, they actually tell you like it's December whatever.
Oh.
Because there was like in the shot, there was a wreath. And Hitchcock was like, we need to put a date in this so people won't be like, why are the wreaths out?
Yeah.
Like, sunny.
Oh, okay. Well, it's funny because they're in like...
Random fact.
But they're in the desert. Like, you can't even tell. Everyone's wearing normal clothes all day. It's like it's winter. Anyway, that's funny. All right, Raf, what do you think?
Thought? Peppermint?
Yeah.
I thought it was a movie that starred Jennifer Garner.
It's not very memorable, obviously.
I'm trying to think of the movie. It was some interesting action going on. Hmm. I can see why they would pick Jennifer Garner for this role. She's done stuff like that before.
For sure.
You know, and I could totally see her as a mom because she's done stuff like that also, so it worked out. Other than that, I mean, it's...
Yeah. Good casting, yeah. I would say good casting with her because of Alias and stuff.
Yeah, other than that, I mean, I just felt like it was nothing special, like we said earlier already, and nothing... missed opportunities in a lot of sections. Some decent action, but that's about it.
But the thing is that I came into this movie just hoping for some good action, yeah, and I got what I wanted, so... I don't know. I felt like it did its job for sure. It's not like it had also shitty action. It didn't have shitty acting either necessarily. It just didn't have great
acting.
No,
it didn't. Exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah, I'm not complaining about.
Yeah.
It's just
it's a workable movie. It's a blue collar movie.
Yeah. There you go.
It works. It works for you. It does its job. So that's Peppermint. Raf, you and I have seen Crazy Rich Asians. Which is the talk of the town, so it's kind of still.
I got you.
Kind of still.
The story follows native New Yorker Rachel Chu as she accompanies her boyfriend Nick Young to his best friend's wedding in Singapore.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's the best one I'm going to give. I'm not reading any more than that. Yeah, this movie's been blowing up in the box office. It came out a while ago.
About a month ago.
This is...
I think even more.
Maybe more, yeah.
This is starring Constance Wu, Henry Golding, Michelle Yeoh, Gemma Chan, and a bunch of other people that I do not want to mess up their names. But it is an all-Asian cast.
Okay. Yeah.
That's the big thing. It's a, like, is it a rom-com?
It's a totally romantic comedy, yes.
Okay. It's a rom-com. And, I'll say it right now. This is a paint-by-numbers movie. There's nothing I did not expect in this movie, except for, like, if you got to get into the minutiae of details, I mean, then I can go there.
The only thing that this differs
for the most part, I mean, it hits every single thing in a movie. Like,
I would say that the only thing that differs from its rom-com bones is that most romantic comedies have their antagonist or villain... who could be like cartoony or like a real villain, like in this one, like has like agency and stuff. Usually the villain is like an ex or someone trying to stop. Like it's a different.
They did a little bit of a mix. They did a little bit of a mix.
But yeah. Clearly, one is the mother that was worried. That's the one you think about,
right? Exactly.
As the antagonist.
Sure.
Right.
I would agree with you there.
That's the only slight difference.
Yeah, and then so that's besides that. Then I'll get you to the other thing about this movie that it does. Is it does everything to the nth degree, and I say nth or to whatever degree, because I can't comprehend the amount of degree that it went above. So because it's just things that you will never do in your life, money wise, the stuff that you see. This is a colorful movie, very colorful movie.
Yeah, I like the style of the movie,
and
I love
even in New York,
montages.
It doesn't feel bleak like we're in like cheap New York. Quite the contrary.
Right.
It feels nice. Yeah. I feel like they go to probably like posh places, you know, to go eat and stuff like that, even though they're not. Right? Or hipster, I guess we would call it here.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you. And then we have... okay. Wow. Thanks, Luke. So, but in Singapore, I mean, there's a little bit of a mix of everything, right? That we see in Singapore.
Dude, these guys are crazy rich.
But... Crazy Rich Asians fits the title amazingly well.
Yes.
Cause, and I like the one scene with the best friend. Is like, no, you're not understanding. I have new money. We're from new money, you know? This is what we got from recent stuff that's coming out.
Yeah.
These people come from old money. Old money, this is how everything started, before everything.
Yeah.
And they set up everything. So not only do they have old money, they have the new money as well. They have both monies, if you want to look at it that way. So for them, I love how the movie starts off. The movie's perfect thing to how this movie's going to be.
Yes. I think it all treats it very light and airy.
It does.
And funny, light-touched. It has some really good moments. It has a lot of subplots. I can see some subplots not working for other people. Like, for example, probably the least interesting subplot is that the one aunt or whatever it was, or sister, I don't remember, with the husband that was, like, working a lot, and she was, like, this demure, like...
Well, I saw it coming so far away.
Yeah, that one. I'm not spoiling much, but it's okay. Even though I did like her character, I didn't like where her subplot went exactly, but it was, like, whatever. But anyway, there's a lot of subplots. Like, I love her best friend that lives in that... What's the country again?
Singapore,
that ours, yeah. Singapore. And I love her, and I love some of the characters. And it's wild, like the best friend's not, you know, the crazy man slut that did the bachelor party. A lot of funny stuff in it. It has this great Mahjong scene that everyone talks about that I agree is pretty great and memorable. So yeah, I totally recommend it. It's a really good rom-com that I haven't seen in a while.
Too bad I don't know enough about Mahjong to know what happened. But I know something.
But you also don't need it, really.
But you also don't need it, exactly. It's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
It's like in poker. Like, you don't need to know how to play poker. You just need to know what happened.
Right.
Very similar.
The expressions.
Exactly.
Exactly.
I agree with you. It's I kind of avoided watching this movie for a while. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I didn't want to go. I just didn't want to go for the reasons of watching the movie by myself. I wanted to go with my wife. And finally, I had a time to go watch it with my wife.
Yeah, I took Lexi, yeah.
Right, exactly.
It was worth it. And she had seen it before, too. She was like, why did I spoil it so hard? So that's Crazy Rich Asians. It's still in theaters, surprisingly.
Yeah. And it still has, like, people watching it in theaters.
Yeah.
Is it like the Titanic for Asians?
It must be.
Like, people just want to see that movie just to see it.
I mean, yeah, I probably saw it.
I mean, it is a big
one. But it's good.
And also our Asian cast. I mean, you really don't see that a lot.
No, apparently the last time a movie of this magnitude or size or money or whatever was the Joy Luck Club in like early 2000s, late 90s.
Whoa, that long ago?
Late 90s, maybe.
What movie?
Joy Luck Club. That was the last one that was never heard of it. Wait, you never heard of the Joy Luck Club?
No.
The book?
No.
The book, really? Yeah. Amy Tan?
Gigantic thing in the back of the day.
Yeah, it's a huge book.
I think it's still a gigantic thing.
It's still a huge book. Huh?
What year?
I think in the 90s, I don't remember, you have to look up, I don't know what year it came out, but I think that was the last time I heard a podcast mention it. Anyway, so that's Crazy Rich Asians, and now it's just up to me of the rest of the movies. I saw Sicario,
Day
of the Soldado. Oh, man. What?
93, I was still in communism.
93, fuck, I was way off.
You were?
I was way off. Anyway.
No, I'm kidding, we got out of communism in 1989, but it still felt like communism.
Okay, no, yeah, well, I'm not... I ignore that part. The 93 is what I was focusing on. Anyway, Sicario, Day of the Soldado, is a sequel to the epic, the 2012 film Sicario, which I love. I love that movie. I love rewatching it. I've rewatched it like probably a total of 5 times since its release. Love that movie. Don't love this movie quite as much at all, actually. So I wouldn't like watch this again. However, one positive thing I will say about the sequel, Day of the Soldado, which stars two of the same actors from the first film, which is Benicio del Toro and Josh Brolin. Actually, Jeffrey Donovan's also in it. One of the other guys, guys from the first movie. This is directed and written by different people, obviously. That's why I made the first one so special, because we love the writers and director. This is written by Taylor Sheridan, who has written some pretty good movies, my bad, which is maybe was the best aspects of the movie, now that I think back on it. He did, like, Wind River, Hell or High Water. He did, I think, parts or maybe the whole thing of the first one, and then directed by Stefano Sollima. The movie has good action, Ralph, so I would say watch it for that.
Okay.
It does take itself as seriously as the first one. However, because of where the third act goes, which I will not spoil, obviously.
Sure.
Because of where the third act goes and kind of crumbles in itself, it feels like they couldn't – it feels like the movie backed out. It's like the movie was going to do something bold and then chickened out in the third act and then decided to go somewhere else.
Okay.
So you'll know what I mean when you see it, if you see it. And I think the movie lost a lot of brownie points for me. And it could have gone somewhere really cool because my expectations...
I mean, this is a sequel that we didn't ask for.
Right, nobody.
And they did right by us by giving us the main actors still in the show, still in the movie. They didn't replace anybody.
I guess you could tell that the writer, I guess, is the same writer that wanted to tell something extra, maybe.
But. Yeah. I know the director can change in a thing that they're trying to make. I know they're not trying to make like a trilogy or anything of this movie, but...
I thought they were. I thought that there was a plan to have like the trilogy of Sicario.
Maybe, I don't, can't tell you.
I just wanted to write something like that.
I don't know.
But anyways, back to my point, was that it looks like they gave it a good college try.
Yeah, it looks like they're trying. And I almost feel like the movie should have, like...
It probably had a good budget and everything.
Yes, it did. And it has some pretty good military operational Black Ops CIA-type stuff. Nothing as intense, unfortunately, as what the first movie did, because the direction was...
Now, is different. It not as intense because we already saw the first one? And we were expecting something of this caliber?
No, because I've seen many of those kinds of movies way before Sicario ever existed. We've all seen tense action movies before. We grew up on them. We can tell. A Duel, we'll talk about that. You know, like, it's different. Like, you can make a perfectly serviceable, awesome, intense action scene that, even if it had a shitty story to it, you could still be into, you know? No, I don't think so. I think... And just the direction is different. Like, it doesn't hit as the home run isn't there. You know, it almost makes it, maybe.
I got
not to say it's bad, though. It's pretty good. I like the overall plot of the movie, which I can't explain. It's so long and convoluted and political. I'm not even going to get into it. But it's fun. I really like the first half a lot more than the second half because, again, the third act. But the action of scenes alone, I would recommend for. So that's Sicario, Day of the Soldado. What are you going
to say? So I haven't seen this one.
Wait, is it Soldado or Soledad?
Day of the Soldado.
Okay.
Did I say Soledad? No, I said it right. Sorry, you were saying?
So the first one was Emily Blunt?
Emily Blunt as well, yeah.
So she was my favorite character in that movie. So
She's the anchor of that show,
right,
of that
so
movie.
In this one, she's not there. So
No, she's not there at all. Well,
that's kind of why I wasn't really like to be like, okay, don't.
No, I mean, when I found out that Denis Villeneuve wasn't going to direct it, I'm like, okay, it's probably going to suck. But I still wanted to see it.
Is it worth it?
I think it's good for the action, like I said, and it has some pretty good, interesting ideas. But no.
If you had to buy this movie, what would you
buy? I wouldn't buy it.
You wouldn't buy
it? I would not buy this movie.
iTunes, it was $5.
Oh, yeah, probably.
$5, maybe $10?
No.
No? Not even $10?
No, I barely buy anything I like for $10.
All right.
Only movies I love do I buy, actually. So.
Okay.
I guess if that's your metric, Luke, I guess that's my answer.
How much coin would you drop on this flick on iTunes?
The $5, that's it. So here's another one that's new in theaters right now. The House with a Clock in Its Walls. Long, wordy title. A young orphan named Louis Barnevelt aids his magician uncle in locating a clock with the power to bring about the end of the world. And this stars, I like the cast a lot. Jack Black, Cate Blanchett, Owen Vaccaro, Kyle MacLachlan is in this movie, who is just... Every time he's in a movie, I'm like, oh, he's going to be the crazy person in the movie. And a bunch of other people, too.
Please show me a picture. Bad radio.
It's loading.
I don't know, bad radio. But,
I mean...
Oh, my God, you do.
David Lynch. Yeah. I mean, movies, right?
Yeah.
This is written by Eric Kripke, directed by Eli Roth. This is the second Eli Roth movie of the year. And I will say two things. One, very strange that Eli Roth did a children's movie, essentially. Because it is a children's movie. It is rated PG. Let me see what's to say that year. I don't know where it says. Also bad radio. Anyway, but it's for kids. It's like...
I want to watch it, by the way.
It's like a Harry Potter-esque. Yeah. It's like Goosebumps, the live-action renditions with Jack Black. It's just like that.
That was cool.
Which I still
have a new one that I'm not looking forward to.
Oh, you're not?
It is PG.
It is PG. I haven't seen the Goosebumps yet, but it looks just like it from the
trailers. No. The Goosebumps that came out with Jack Black in it is good. I liked it. There's a new one coming out.
No, I haven't seen either.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But it looks the same. This one has some definitely fun stuff. It looks like it's having fun. I think if I was younger, for sure, I would love it more or love it, period. I don't love it now, but I did like some stuff in it. It's very quirky.
How do you feel about children? What kind of children can go watch this movie and enjoy it?
I think preteens probably the golden age. Preteens younger. I guess some teenagers can like this movie too.
Sure.
I had some stuff in it. What?
Yeah, the reason I didn't want to see this movie was because I think it was really not aimed anywhere near me.
Well, I just have the A-list. That's the only reason I saw it.
I know.
Yeah. I would never
see
it.
Right, exactly. I would have watched this because it's A-list.
I wouldn't have seen it, honestly.
You guys could go watch Gay Porn if it was on A-list.
Gorn.
Probably.
We call it Gorn. We just combine both. So that's the only reason I saw it, obviously. So if you have kids, of course, take them with you. If not, don't even watch it. I don't think you'll get enough out of it. However, it has some pretty good messages overall for those kids and stuff like that that you can relate to. And the scenes are great. Eli Roth is not bad in this one, I guess, you know, surprisingly, because his Death Wish rendition with Bruce Willis earlier this year
was awful. He did that one too?
He did that one, yeah. That's what I'm saying. He did two movies this year. And that one was awful. I don't know what happened there. Clearly, it looked like either studio interference or him just fucking on drugs. I don't know what he's doing. But this one's better for sure, but it doesn't have anything like, obviously, Cannibal Holocaust related because the guy is a horror director. No hostile stuff in this movie. But yeah, Kate Blanchett is so cool. I just like watching her. She's so cool. Anyway, and the last movie here is a movie called Upgrade, which you guys have not seen. Is that correct?
Negative.
Luke, you haven't seen this one at all, right?
Negative.
Because this one's out to rent and buy right now, so it's not in theaters. Set in the near future, technology controls nearly all aspects of life. But when Gray, a self-identified technophobe, has his world turned upside down, his only hope for revenge is an experimental computer chip implant called STEM. And this movie made some headway when it came out into the last year through all the festival stuff and when it finally came out and released this year. Written and directed by Lee Whannell, I'm not 100%. And it stars Logan Marshall Green. It's one of those actors, one of those like character actors almost, like, or like up and comers. And when you see him, like, you might recognize him.
Okay.
And it is a cool movie. It's it has a really interesting thing where it's this STEM is this basically this invention where it attaches to your. Essentially, the main character gets a horrible accident, and his wife gets killed by these marauding people that steals his car and stuff like that. And he gets paralyzed completely from the neck down, something like that. And this guy invents this rich guy invents this thing that attaches to his stem, to his
spinal column
right below the brain or whatever. I'm not 100% on the terms. That is able to give him access to control his body, even though his body is technically always paralyzed. And it's very interesting how that leads into this, obviously, as you can imagine, this revenge tale to find out who killed his wife and stuff like that. And the action and the violence in this movie, primo. They're really good. It's very nearly a horror movie with the action goriness. But it isn't, though. It's definitely sci-fi action, but it's just so graphic sometimes that you're like, damn. And in a good way, because the movie, I think, aims for that energy. Sometimes you do wish, though, that the movie wasn't an action movie so they can focus on the Black Mirror aspect of this tech. But I think the movie does enough to do both. It juggles it pretty well for me, and I really dug it, and I really recommend it. And I really am trying really hard not to spoil anything because it has a really good third act that I liked a lot. I mean, not that you can't see it coming, but you can't see everything about the third act finish coming either.
Okay.
So that's all I say on Upgrade. And rent it or buy it, whatever, man. It's a good movie.
Oh, wow.
It's $9.99 on iTunes, and I was actually looking at it today.
Blind buy? Luke can do a blind buy?
Oh, yes.
And he'll enjoy it?
I would get this movie, Luke, for sure.
Like how I'm about to, like...
Blind buy this?
You blind buy everything, bro. Are you going
to
get it?
I mean, it's $6 to rent and $10 to buy.
I mean,
oh, really? Yeah, you might as well buy it. Might as well buy it. If you do, it's great. I can rewatch it because it's...
Do you have to make that face when you purchase?
Yeah, you did a face. You did a face.
Well, it's because he's using facial recognition.
Wait for the future. My fault.
Yeah, okay, so one. Okay, so that's all I've been watching. That's all we've been watching. Now we're going to get into our first review of the evening, which will be what again? White Boy Rick.
Yo, Ricky.
Yo, stay with us.
You good, Rick? You want to move weight? You come to me.
My dad finds this, he'll kick my ass.
Just make sure he doesn't find it then. Break it down to dime rocks. Get yourself a crew and offload it. Before long, people know you're legit.
It's Ricky! He won!
You're going to get in too deep. Then they're going to let you out.
You talk, I know.
£8, 14 ounces. Such a way you were born. First time I looked in your eyes, I knew you were going to be bigger than me. I knew your life was going to be bigger than mine.
Look at this, Dad. Look how we're living. Let's hustle big. I know the players, and I know the game. Heck, Come on, Dad. I can do this. No, we can do this.
We can fix our lives and be a family again. What do you say?
The story of teenager Richard Warsh, Jr., who became an undercover informant for the FBI during the 1980s and was ultimately arrested for drug trafficking and sentenced to life in prison. White Boy Rick.
What was that? No, let's analyze this. No, let's analyze that voice you did. What was that?
Say, White Boy Rick. First impressions, I'm going to go with Oscar.
Is your thing even like up to your mouth?
Yeah. Okay. What are your first impressions, Oscar?
My first impressions of this movie is that it was much like Peppermint earlier. It was very kind of Paint My Numbers or Crazy Rich Asians. These like genre biopic crime movies, like there's American Gangster, right? That's like a primo one though, right? But there's like a lot of these guys. Goodfellas is also a huge one.
What's the one with
what?
Johnny Depp.
A Blow.
Donnie Darko.
No, the other one. The more current one.
Donnie Brasco? Yeah. Oh, that's even less current.
Black Mass.
Wow. Yeah, that's a worse one, though, I feel.
Okay.
That's a worse one. Okay. These are good levels here. I like it.
Yeah. Okay, so that's your first impression?
Yes. It's like a lower tier than the cream of the crop version of this crime biopic thing. So
I like a lot of the movie.
Yeah.
But overall, it's about a Black Mass for me.
Oh, really? That low is
so
lower?
No, Black Mass is still under.
Okay.
Because I can't think of a worse movie than that. Not that Black Mass is horrible. I just...
Oh, that's pretty bad.
But I just don't... I usually don't think any movie is that horrible.
Should we call it Blast?
Blast.
Okay.
Blasphemy.
Nice.
Oh, hey. So, the problem with this movie... You all right there?
Okay, he's got to keep the gurgling.
The problem with this that I have with this movie overall is the fact that I don't like half the stuff that ends up happening or how it's told.
Yeah,
not that it happens. That's cool that it happened. You know, whatever, if it happened, it happened. Maybe the way it was put together, but some of it does work. Just some of it fails epically.
I think
especially the last act of the movie,
yeah,
felt rushed. It felt like and I get there's less to bring up because there's less to see that's interesting,
mm-hmm.
but it just felt rushed compared to the rest of the movie.
Obviously, we'll have a spoiler session. We'll get into that then.
Yeah.
Luke?
Sorry, I can't articulate myself.
That's okay. Not yet.
All right, so I, too, did not particularly care for this movie.
Mr. Biopic?
Shut up, sir. Okay. I am intrigued by the character of this Richard Kidd, you know?
Richard Kidd? What's his name?
Richard Kidd. Is this white boy Dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Richard Warsh or whatever. Rick for short.
What is it?
Warsh.
I don't know. Regardless, I'm intrigued by him and his actions. I do feel, I think, a documentary, which is also out on iTunes, would probably...
You're talking about a companion piece.
I don't know if I think a documentary might be better
in this form. Yeah.
Oh, then what we got?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Then what we got? Because I know this is supposed to be a dramatization of it, and don't get me wrong.
Well, yeah.
I like the acting that happened in this movie.
Yeah, you got McConaughey. All right.
McConaughey did a good job.
Yeah.
Not looking like McConaughey.
He totally did.
Not look like McConaughey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or not, and then not doing what a McConaughey role does.
All right.
No, he doesn't do that either. But.
Yeah. He plays an interesting failure of a person.
He really does.
Which is rare because I don't think I've seen that really of him, at least not lately. So that's good. I agree. I think these actors that they got for these roles are pretty good. Pretty solid. I think biopic is like casting is like almost like number one's everyone's first hurdle. But they did a good job there. I don't think this movie is very cinematic. Because for some of the reasons Raph was saying about the rush feeling, but also way beyond that point, which I will get into spoilers. But I don't think this movie, it especially, like, I think that if you're making a dramatization, make it interesting. Like, I would have changed the fucking last half of this movie to just be fed a great movie. Like
Scarface type, big blowout shootout.
Yeah, well, no, it doesn't have to be that way. But I'm saying, like, you know, just change it because it's, obviously not every detail, most details that we saw are not correct at all, you know. So like, why pigeonhole yourself to like, well, that's not what happened in real life. Like, motherfucker, it's not a documentary. Make whatever you want. But furthermore, I'm not saying change everything about it, but I just think the movie is scatterbrained and it doesn't give us any real sense of what this character is really going through, if it is about him. And if it's about the family, we definitely don't get enough with them to say anything, really, except for maybe the dad.
Yeah, the dad's the bigger one.
But right, the bigger one. And it feels like it's either way, whatever your answer is not enough, because the movie doesn't provide enough to have which one, you know. So I think the movie has a lot of problems because of that. I like the first half of the movie more than the second. I like the opening of it. I like the Detroit feeling. It felt like Detroit. It felt as cold.
It is
and
Detroit.
It felt like 80s Detroit, too. It felt very cool that way, I guess. It is very, not Motown-y, but I like the way it felt. But yeah, I guess, you know, there's stuff to like in the movie.
There is stuff to like in the movie.
But, yeah. That's basically it for me, though. Who else wants to bring up something?
Like, honestly, I think I was more intrigued with McConaughey's character than White Boy Rick.
I always felt...
Dealing with the guns and everything, being like an inadequate father, having your kid leave you after the wife left. I think that was a more interesting person.
Yeah. What do you guys feel about maybe putting the eyeballs or the perspective of the FBI in this movie? Like, we had none of that. But I'm saying, what if there were, if there was one? Throughout the movie, in the theater, not afterwards, in the theater, I was thinking, how cool would this movie be if the movie took the time, instead of like adding all this other stuff that we may not need or don't care or is not enough of, replace it with... you know, because there's two FBI agents and one Detroit policeman, right? Yes. Like, narc guy, working with this kid. And this is from the beginning of the movie, guys. It's not like a big spoiler. It happens like within 30 minutes of it. What if we see some of their thing? Because they do some morally reprehensible stuff that is, if it looks like in the gray area of the law, but some of them might be completely breaking the law. I'm not 100%. The movie doesn't really focus on that until a certain point. And I think if we'd gotten that from the beginning and gotten their POV on their decision-making process, I think I would have liked this movie a lot more. How do you guys feel about that, though?
I think I would have enjoyed it also better.
Because it has also Jennifer Jason Leigh is one of the actresses.
Yeah, and that's, she's one of the cops.
The lady FBI. The only
Who's
white...
Who's the actress?
Jennifer Jason Leigh. I just said it. She's from, more recently, The Hateful Eight. Woman in that movie.
Really? Her?
Huh. Yeah. That's the most recent, but she's in tons of things. Anyway, and it also has Brian Tyree Henry from Atlanta, who's pretty cool. Not Paperboy this time, though. And yeah, anyway, anything else you guys want to say or talk about or say good things about?
Do they have to be good things?
No.
Okay. I don't know. I just did not care for this character.
Why didn't you like the character? Maybe we should focus on that.
He just felt stupid.
He was pretty stupid.
Yeah, like there's like no common sense. I hated him for like the actions he was taking, and I'm like, no, you're stupid. Just stop.
Yeah.
He's very unlikable, and then like I felt for him like at the end, you know how he got that whole stupid, shitty prison sentence and everything.
No, don't ruin anything.
It's based on a real
person. I know, but don't. I mean, the movie just came out. I mean, let's just hold on.
So did he?
Wow. How do you feel about the character of Rick?
I feel that they downplay his age. We feel like this character is late teens, where he is a mid teens.
Okay.
Yeah, he starts up when 15.
He's 15 in the movie.
Yeah.
And most of the good portion of the movie, he's 15.
And the movie to 16. Takes place, what,
so
2 years?
We're saying that he's in his late teens. He feels like he's in his late teens for the most of it. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about a guy who barely touched high school.
Yeah.
So there's very little to know. And he probably barely passed grammar school, let's be realistic.
Yeah.
And they do a good job of playing the family role. And that they're supposed to be smart, but you look at the dad has smart ideas, but he doesn't know how to execute them, you know, or he doesn't know how to keep a goal for them, or he only knows one way to do something, so he only does it that way. He doesn't try to ever do anything. Not that he takes shortcuts, but he doesn't ever actually try to put in his effort the right way. I guess I would say it.
Maybe. Yeah. Okay.
That's the best way I could say it. So, like, the people around him and his grandparents, like, although somewhat supportive, there's nobody there to actually nurture his education. So he does make dumb fucking decisions. And he doesn't know how to act. Now, he's street smart for sure. Don't get me wrong on that. But that's kind of just like he grew up so much around it, or he knows it. He knows the game. Mm-hmm. He knows how to play the game, but he just never knew how to maintain, you know, how to do the anything extra.
Okay.
You know, there's not the Wire here. He's not a...
Yeah.
What's his name?
Anyone from the Wire.
No. Well, Idris Elba's character.
I've never seen that.
Fuck.
It's like Sterling or something like that, something like that, right? I forgot the name. Anyway, he's not that guy.
No, he's not that guy. Right. But I see your point. I'll give you my opinion on Rick with the spoiler that we're going to get into. So let's get into spoilers for White Boy Rick, starting right now.
Dino!
Get back.
Get off of me.
Get back in the house, Don.
Go in the house and get dressed.
No! Dad!
Get inside the
house.
Stop.
Wait.
No.
Ah, Christ. Keep going. I got it under control.
You don't need to stop the car, Pop. Everything's fine. Don't get out of the car.
Everything is not fine. A man just ran out of your house almost against my Imperial. You don't have a goddamn thing under control. You're not going to let her talk to you.
I'm going to the goddamn house. I got this under control, all right?
Ain't under control.
Hey, stay out of it. Looks like Richard's having a bad day.
No, Ma, I'm not having a bad day. My son and I walked into the lion's den this morning and walked out with the golden fleece. Ain't that right, Ricky?
That's right.
That's right.
You're pathetic. Both of you.
Hey, put some clothes on, will you? We're going for custard.
It's like your first day. All right. So my thing with Rick is that I think the problem with him being the main lead, or at least not sharing the lead with someone else, say his father maybe, or the FBI agents, or even his sister, you know, if the movie wanted to do that, is that we can only... The reason these movies are very light in past is because we can sympathize and we can put us in the shoes of the smart criminal that doesn't deserve to have it all, and obviously will fly too high before coming down, or whatever the hell the story is.
Mm-hmm.
This guy has no redeeming qualities for us to put our shoes in. So, like, we can never, like, really fall for the kid.
There's one time that you get that, and that's when he wants to do right by the girl that he knocked up.
Yes. That was the only part.
Fail at it completely.
Heart of it was there, but the movie does not either let it breathe. I don't know what it doesn't do right.
I think it just doesn't show it enough to you.
Yeah.
I think it's... They do a good part in the beginning where, like, the dad's in it.
Mm-hmm.
His dad, the grandfather, right?
Yeah.
He's part of it. He's like, oh, I want to be part of this family as well.
Yeah.
He says something very similar to what the son says to the girl.
Yeah.
Where he's like, you know, like, oh, I, you know, I'm too ugly for him. But he says the opposite. Like, she's too beautiful for us.
Yeah, yeah.
Very similar. But they don't do enough. There's not enough there for us to care. And we get another later on when he's in prison, because we're in spoilers already.
Yeah.
Where it should be and it is an emotional moment, don't get me wrong, where the daughter's there, but it's almost too
it's
little.
It's too little too late.
Too little too
no,
late.
No, I would say it is too little.
It's still an emotional moment. It's just not as impactful as it should have been.
Yes. And I think the guy, I think they really play him stupid, Rick. It's too stupid. I think it's too
but
stupid.
But especially towards the
forget
end.
Forget book smart. I think even street smart, he should have known not to sell 140,000, whatever the legal thing that the movie's real message is about, it felt like, that they shoehorn at the end. And you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, give this X amount of narcotics, you
right.
go to life.
Right, from Michigan.
That was the 80s. That was, you know.
And it was recently changed, and he was still in jail when it was released. Whatever the hell, that whole ending part that felt like so out of nowhere and shoehorned in. I'm like, was this what the movie was about? Is this what you're trying to tell me? Is this guy a cautionary tale if we travel back to the 80s from this point? Like, how does this work for anyone?
Mandatory minimums?
Yeah, it's like mandatory minimums, but it's not saying that either. It's like, it's... I don't know. Anyway, I didn't like that at all. Not to say that it's a wrong cause. I'm just saying use a better platform to use to cry for that cause. And I don't think this movie is that right platform. However, what was I saying before that?
I don't know. You were
right. It's like the kid should have fucking known not to do every single mistake that literally the guys that just fell last year, not to do those things. And not to hook up with that girl, even though obviously he liked her. And whatever the hell he was doing. Like, I knew he was going to go back to that one fancy drug dealer guy.
Yeah. We knew that
he's
was
a supplier, obviously. Yeah. That makes sense. I don't know. It's just like, I think it's over. I think the kid just got lucky somehow to make it that far.
At certain points he did.
Right? Like, I just felt like it was luck. And he just kept, like, if you apply enough pressure, I guess you can get him to do anything. Snitch for you. Or sell drugs for you or whatever, you know? At some point, like, where does his decision... I don't know. It's very strange. I guess I didn't like it. I didn't like the combo they were giving me.
Yeah, I agree.
Anything else, Luke, you want to say in the spoiler session about anything? About the ending or whatever?
Well, the ending was like... That's where it really started to get the message across, how the sentencing is messed up, how...
How did you feel about that?
Well, it's messed up. You had people, you know... The other people that were involved in this, like the crooked cops, everything, they all did worse things.
Yeah.
But they all left jail long before he did.
Definitely. I mean, if they were even caught for it.
They were.
But then, or was it like way later?
No, I think they the FBI probably took them all down at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah, it is kind of shitty.
Yeah, that was shitty. Like, if we imagine if we'd gotten the FBI perspective along the way.
Like, if that's the message of the movie, they should have done they did a horrible job.
Yeah.
For that message.
For example, there's this movie that I really love. It's a documentary called The Weather on the Ground. Have you guys ever seen it?
No.
It sounds familiar.
It may have won documentary of the year. It came out in the 80s or 90s, I forget. It's about, the anarchist, hippie, terrorist people that blew up a lot of buildings and shit. Or some buildings, so I don't know what they did. They did a lot of terrorist acts in the United States. And it takes the perspective of both the surviving players, or the people who've been alive since, and the FBI people assigned to could catch them. And the movie does a really good combo of both. And the movie shows all the tactics that the FBI used that were later obviously completely reversed or checked or made into rules or laws for that were completely legal back then that led to the release of... Basically, that led to the making of this movie because if they did it all by the book, supposedly, they wouldn't have got any of them. And if they had, all these people would have been in jail and not able to be documented. And the movie has a really good symmetry of both those things. This movie doesn't do that. And White Boy Rick, it feels like it's like that's life, bro.
Kind of
feeling. And
I felt like they did this one scene that was like supposed to tie this movie.
Yeah.
And not even a scene, it's like a throwaway line almost. Like, you know what our current president wants to do, like his wife or the first lady. They bring this thing, like, the first lady's...
You know what she says, right? Just say no.
Just say no
yeah.
about the drug campaign. So we know that this is the high time of, like, catching those people.
Yeah.
And we're punishing them to the highest extent of the law, right?
Yeah.
Sure. And I feel like that's almost like you didn't even need that in the movie. And I feel like, well, we should probably mention this so we can just, kind of tie things.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're probably
little right. Things like that.
Yeah, I think this movie, if you want to focus on the what really happened, it should have been more of a documentary than a biopic, I would say. Or at least
a documentary on iTunes right now.
So. Oh, I'm sure. But I'm saying it's better that way, I think. The information is probably processed better that way. Or, like I said, open it up, not to just one character. Open it up to two or three. That would have been better. Any last words on this movie?
If it's $5, go see it.
You would? Yeah. Had you not seen it? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, it was free for me on my A-list.
You're still paying for it.
So it's like a dollar.
That's basically a dollar.
It's like a dollar.
If you watch 20 movies, it's $1.
It's $1. Yeah. All right, $2.
I thought it's three movies a week.
Three movies a week.
Yeah, but $20 a month.
So 12 movies.
So if you watch 20 in a month, it's $1. That's what I was saying. I'm not trying to like.
That's literally what he said.
You probably can't watch.
That would require.
more weeks than a month, yeah, or whatever. You know, it's just a word. It's just a sentence. It doesn't have to, nothing. It's just a sentence, man. Anyway, I'm going to cut it here because I got to pick up Lexi. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll review our second film of the evening, which is a Netflix original called What, Luke?
Bleach. Which is something you probably want to have after you watch this movie. Pour your eyes.
Damn.
I'm joking.
Damn. Stay with us.
I really thought it was going somewhere else.
Well, yeah, I know. I didn't know where it was going.
黒崎いちご高校生兼死神代行
死神になれ貴様が死神となりあのホラを倒せ
おせえ
やってやろうじゃないかこの俺が倒してやる
ルキア、この俺を本物の死神にしてくれ。
グランドフィッシャーは俺が倒す。
ブリーチ、この戦いだけは絶対負けらんねえ。
A high school student by the name of Ichigo Kurosaki has been able to see ghosts for as long as he can remember. When an unusual ghost appears, he must take the power of a death god or soul reaper to destroy it. He uses these powers to protect his friends and defeat major enemies.
Shinigami.
Salute.
Shinigami.
All right, so that was that's Bleach, the 2018 Netflix original adaptation of the manga and
the anime. Show. Yes.
The same name.
Well, by original, we mean that they bought it and they have rights to show it here, right? That's what it means. They didn't make it, I don't think. Did they? Right?
I don't know.
They didn't give the money, did they?
Maybe they did.
To make it. They're also responsible for Full Metal Alchemist, right? That live action film? Or is it a show?
I think it's a film.
I haven't seen it.
But did it come out yet?
Oh, it's been out.
Right? Is it?
Yeah, it's been out. Yeah. Also to your mouth, the mic, obviously. Well, you know, just do it. Let's see. Bleach. So what do you think, Luke? Who do you want first? What do you want?
I think Ralph, since he's the Bleach guy.
Are you known as the Bleach guy, Ralph?
Why would I be known as the Bleach
guy? I think we both saw it at the same time. We both saw it.
You watched it all, didn't you?
I have not, sir.
You watched the most.
I have not, sir. But among friends or amongst this table? I have.
How much more further than the obviously better arc of the Aizen thing?
A lot more further.
Are you talking about the hollow battles? Past that? How much more past that? Past the vampire thing? The vampire arc? Past that?
I want to say so, yes.
Okay, then you have seen more, because that's where I stopped. Right after the vampire thing.
He made it back home, right?
It was back home when all the captains were like visiting him daily. It was like a weird little wholesome thing. Like, yeah. What the hell's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I guess you have seen more than I have.
Let's just say,
yes.
Wouldn't this anime come out? Can you look that up for me?
Oh, man.
So I'll start off. It is basically a highlighted version of the first season of the show. And I say highlighted, obviously, because you can't do the whole first season in one movie.
2004.
Wow.
This is probably the anime that I got into more than any other anime in that time.
Naruto, believe it.
No, I was more into Bleach than I was for Naruto.
Believe it.
I stopped watching Naruto. I stopped watching Bleach also, but I stopped watching Naruto first.
Okay.
That being said, I was always more excited to watch Bleach than I was Naruto.
Yes.
I really liked Bleach. It gave me it was cool. That being said, so this is the first season. If you remember the first season, you can basically paint by numbers, remember this show, this movie. Obviously, this is live action, so they do change things. Some of the stuff looks pretty badass, hollow-wise.
Yeah.
And then other stuff falls very short I do appreciate that they kept some stuff that's part of the show regularly.
Like the mythology of the show?
Yeah, which you should. But little quirks that make the show, I think, what I really liked about the show.
Okay.
So little things like Rukia's drawings. Even though they don't explain it, they have it in there. Mm-hmm. And it's basically a fan service kind of thing. But you also watch it. You also see it. You don't really get much of an explanation in the anime besides she's horrible at drawing.
That's the funny thing. Yeah.
That's the funny thing. And she's like a child. She's a child at drawing. Yeah. And she only draws and knows how to draw one thing. So it's the only thing she draws. Other than that, it's almost like an exact copy. And I know we talk about this, how there's like a weird... What do we want in a movie? Do we want one, especially in a live action?
Mm-hmm.
We had this conversation for Cinderella back in our old podcast. Well, there's a conversation for Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want an exact carbon copy, right? Do we want the exact copy, live action, than we did from the animated? And that's what we got here. We got a very close, because it's not exact, right?
Right.
We got a very close paint by numbers. There wasn't anything crazy done. And I think you can get away with it now because how graphics are in this day and age. It got away with it, you know, and you can do it. There are small little things that are, but you have to compensate for, but they're so small that you just feel like they're part of it anyway. And I think because of that, there's a fault to the movie for me.
Okay.
Overall, it didn't interest me as much. This is not what I liked about Bleach. That's what got me into Bleach, sure.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what I overall liked about Bleach.
Which is?
Just how big the world gets after this.
Okay.
Like, you know, like we're on the tip of the iceberg. Like, we barely saw the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah. I think we saw Soul Society in a glance.
We got a glance, yeah. So there's that. So overall... little underwhelming.
Okay. Luke?
As far as me and Bleach go,
yeah.
I saw the first episode of the anime, and we left it at that.
Oh, so you're not a fan of the anime, and you've never seen it?
I've only seen the first episode.
Oh, what made you stop? Or do you watch a lot of anime? I don't know if you do.
I mean, back then, I was consuming a lot of it.
Okay, but not Bleach. That's funny. Because we all watched it.
You watched
Milkweed, you know, everyone. We all did. We talked about it a lot.
You guys did, yeah. I didn't.
I'm surprised you didn't. Okay. So, now seeing the movie, you saw the first season. What do you think?
Well, from what I remember from that first episode, this is pretty true to it.
Yeah.
And then
that's true.
And when I think when it finished, I was like, so Ralph, this is pretty much the first season like wrapped up? He's like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
the first episode is probably the truest it keeps
the
to.
First, you know, it has to be.
It is.
It makes sense.
I didn't remember a lot.
And then after that, it's just like, well, let's cut to the chase,
right.
Guys.
Yeah, yeah. That was really good. I like that.
So overall, since this is kind of all new to me, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, awesome.
But I felt like there's got to be more to this, you know? So, I mean, I don't know if they're going to continue with this, you know, live adaptation of it, or...
Yeah, I just
called it like a one-shot thing.
I don't know. The show is still going or it's gone? It's dead now?
If I'm correct, it's done.
Okay. But it's long. It's not short. Not the longest by far, but not, you know, most of them are shorter. I will say that when Luke first chose this film for us to review, I was highly skeptical, worried. You know why, guys? Because movies like The Legend of Chun-Li and Street Fighter and Dragon Ball and...
they've been horrible pieces of shit, yeah.
These live-action adaptations, especially of anime, some of them made here in the U.S., most of them made... a lot of them are made over there. Like Death Note is another one. Death Note has it's a two-parter, right? If I remember correctly, Ralph? It's a two-part live action.
It is.
About all 34 episodes or whatever.
So we're talking about 366 episodes for Bleach.
Okay. Yeah, that's a lot. That's
you left off at what, 365?
No.
Not even close?
Not even.
So here's the thing, is that I, as far as that ilk, that whole, that sub-genre of remaking animes and stuff into live action, this might be the best one, but... that's not saying a lot because it's not at all like a great movie or anything like that. It doesn't meet higher than the... just because it's better than all the other live action renditions of animes, it doesn't mean that it's a good movie necessarily. The movie does favor a lot of like realism to, or sticking to the story and the plot mechanics of the show, over like maybe spending some more time on, you know, a little more character development or whatever is important to Ichigo and stuff like that along the way. I do like that they keep some of the same quirks. But some of those quirks, like the intro, for example, the intro opens with, boy, hair color is this, and, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all that, right? That's just straight from the show, too.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay.
And
it's kind of cool, though.
I felt like they should have kept that, like, that level of lightness maybe throughout. I don't know how they could have, but I feel like if they stuck to something, because anime, I think, is more open to wackadoodleness. Like, it's open to more erratic shit. You can throw almost anything at the wall. Some of it could be funny, some of it could be super mega serious and action heavy, and it can work in an anime. It doesn't really work as well as in live action. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So, but otherwise, I agree with Ralph. The effects overall pretty good. I liked it. What do you think? Do you think there's a fascination? People want live actions?
I don't know. It's weird.
Do you want a live action of something that you love that's animated, Luke? Can you think of something you want to see? I've always liked the idea of seeing Bebop somewhere in live action.
There's been some cool stuff that I think,
you know?
I liked the live action, but I didn't like the anime. Like Initial D movie, I think I've seen that movie.
I never seen that one.
Like 20 times. I think I watched the anime like...
That's funny.
An episode here and there, and I was like, I don't get it.
That's funny.
The movie was great, but like...
Right, yeah. I don't know. It seems to be like a very rare breed of movies that I don't think a lot of people are asking for. I'm not saying they're making like 70 a year, but they're making them still. So yeah. Someone's asking for them. Somebody wants to see them. And I don't know if there's even an audience for them there. However, like I said, this is the better version of it. The effects are pretty good. The acting is solid enough for, you know, they portray their characters pretty well, as from what I remember. However, the main problem with this movie is that it only caters to fan service. It only caters to...
There was not a lot of fan service that I'm talking about.
No, not fan service. Not like that. That's not what I mean. It only caters to the fans of the show. I think it's like, you know, what's my go-to one? Veronica Mars is kind of my go-to one. Like,
you can't just watch... 2019.
It's hard to watch just the movie without knowing the details of the show and, you know, knowing them as well as fans do. I think this one, you get more of a kick. Like, Ralph and I will get more of a kick watching this movie, seeing the first season years ago in 2004. That if I was in your position more, Luke, is that I probably would just think, it's a man movie. It's okay. Or worse, you know? So I don't think that's a good thing for the movie because it has to open up. It has to be able to be watched by everyone.
I should really finish this anime. I think I'm almost done with it.
Really? Are you really almost
like
done with it?
Three something, yeah.
I could tell you were just looking at all the titles.
Yeah, I had to. Sorry.
So I guess I wasn't that far off either. I mean, how much farther were you off?
Not much.
Okay, yeah. I'm not going to finish it because it really got down. It really down.
It really went down. Yeah.
Right after the whole.
Bleach, Hero Academia.
That's not an even trade.
No. Although I do kind of like secretly want a sequel to this movie because the Aizen arc and the Soul Society stuff is so cool.
Well, that's actually what makes me fall in love with the anime because the anime was like good, wasn't anything spectacular, and you keep watching it. But it gets really great when it opens up, especially when he gets through the trials when he's trying to save her.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's I think when it becomes really well.
And the Aizen conspiracy. Mm-hmm. That stuff from that point on, spoilers. Like it gets. It's like a 10-year-old thing. It's like from that point on, it's like nonstop. It's nonstop, like saving, not dying, and you know, and
yeah,
it's really cool.
It is. I just feel like what we have here,
mm-hmm.
Is made for fans, right? And it's like one was like, could we do this? And they did, and they managed to pull off the movie, mm-hmm. and it obviously visually looked good, and they managed to do a good job with like what happens. The live action and everything, and like it worked out. Like everything I think they wanted from it came from it, but there was something missing, and I don't know what that it factor was, but the it factor was missing in this movie. They almost needed to make their own thing in this movie, not just a carbon copy or something. And I'm usually the kind of guy who I love copies of something, right? But when it came to the anime, it fell short. Maybe because we had it shortened from what we had, and there was some magic missing or something that caught me, right?
Mm-hmm.
that was missing, which is kind of shitty, but it happens, right? It's fine. Mm. In comparison to like Cinderella, I know you liked Cinderella, the adaptation. I bring it back. Not the live action version. In comparison, you liked that it was different. I think that's what you liked.
I barely remember the movie.
Well, I'm just saying because I remember you talking about it. Like, you liked it that it was different.
I believe you.
Well, in comparison to like Beauty and the Beast, I love Beauty and the Beast, the live action.
Oh, I didn't like
it. And you hated it because it wasn't different and it was just the exact movie.
Yeah, it was a...
Right, exactly. And I like that because I think they did a really fucking good job at it. Yeah. But it's still something magical about that movie. That's what's missing in this movie. So for me, something in Beauty and the Beast that they did, there was still something in there that they managed to pull off that worked out that still sold me on it.
Maybe it's more like a technical thing. Like this movie, it feels like everyone, like on a technical basis, like I mean craft of not just like the camera work or the special effects, I mean like the acting work too, is that I think that the people in the Bleach, the people who made the Bleach, they have a certain like they're not like in awe of Bleach necessarily. It's more like they know what kind of movie they're making. Maybe in Beauty and the Beast, it's like the way they're working it is that they're trying to find the magic in live action. And I think in Bleach, maybe they're just worried about making a tight first season movie.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Maybe,
that's not an exact answer. But you know.
You know, I get what you're saying, though. I just feel like they were more focused on, well, it has to be exact to this,
mm-hmm.
than focused on it should also be pleasing. They focus more on, like, if it worked out like this, people liked it when it came out. There's mm-hmm. no reason why they shouldn't like it like this.
Yeah, why deviate?
I get that. I'm not saying to deviate, mm-hmm. but I'm saying something still has to sell it for me.
Yeah.
And there's something is still missing in it.
Fan service.
Do you remember that Death Note movie last year that came out? The American?
I've never seen any of them.
Oh, my God. It's so awful.
Was it?
Last year's movie? Yeah, on Netflix.
Samuel Jackson in it or something?
No. I don't think so.
Was there a version of Samuel Jackson in it?
Wait, who plays Ryuk? It's some famous actor.
I did not see the movie, sir.
Oh, okay. I did see it.
Yeah. I did not want to go through that atrocity.
It was bad. The guy who directed those horror movies everyone loves that I hate.
You know, the thing about that also is that I didn't want to go through that atrocity because I really enjoyed Death Note for what it was.
Me too.
And I don't need to see anything else.
Yeah, right.
It's one of those things. I don't need to see anything else.
Yeah, but I could say the same about Bleach.
I don't need to see a Death Note 2 with some new kid picking up a new notebook. It wouldn't work for me.
Right.
It just doesn't.
Right. Here's the more important question. Before we get into spoilers, which I don't even know if we need it necessarily, but if we want to, let's talk about this movie for people who have never seen Bleach, the show, and what we think is our merit to recommending this movie. Because stepping away from the show and what we know about it is going to be the harder thing for us here. Because most people have not seen Bleach.
Wait, but it's hard to sell this movie. Even Netflix is having
a
hard time.
It's about a guy.
Right. It's about a guy who sees ghosts. There are very specific rules in this world about ghosts and
there's
how
like
they work.
Two types of ghosts.
And I think I just found out my problem.
Here it is.
What? Okay. So they don't do a good job about that. They don't do a good job of selling us why Ichigo is Ichigo. Ichigo is like not a chosen one, but we get that he's got this high aura, right? And he's like a ghost attractor, basically.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. But we get that we're supposed to get that this person is a kind person. That he's a kind person because of what happened to his mother.
Right. Oh, I see what you mean.
Not sold to us. That's not sold to us that he's this kind person to ghosts because there's no one else helping them out.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to be the only human that can help them out because nobody else can. So he does little things to help them out. He does the making sure no one's disrespecting them. He does that. And we get that one time with the little kid when they drop over the vase and the bullies.
It opens with that.
It opens with that, exactly. Other than that, that's it. We don't get anything else of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that later scene that we get with, what's it called, at the very end. We're in spoilers, am I correct?
No, we're not.
Oh, we're not. That we get at the end when we get the last hollow they fight. And you know who that hollow is because I don't want to spoil. What's it called? It's not redeeming. It doesn't feel redeeming in the movie.
Hmm.
In comparison, in the show, it feels redeeming. You're like, oh snap, this is the hollow.
Well, also in the first season, he has a few cases added to you know, his training, because he has to, it's a complicated story, guys, but essentially he took the power from some other death god person.
Yeah, well, they do it in the movie. They explain the training,
but they don't do the cases. Like,
you're right, but they do the explaining of what they need to do.
Yeah.
But they just kind of gloss over it, and they just go into training and then just assume everything works.
Yeah.
They don't even mention why his sword is like a big-ass, blunt sword.
She says the line from the show, but she don't explain why.
But they don't get into it a little later.
Why that means...
Well, why, or also why... What's that... One of the characters that comes in later? What's his name?
Abu Dhabi?
Huh?
The red guy?
Yeah. He comes in, and he's supposed to mention also about his sword being dull. Mm-hmm. It's not even an actual sword. It's like if I hit you with it, you're going to get hit by the impact of it, but it's not sharpened. There's no sharpness to it.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing.
So you guys felt that that's something that was really missing in this?
Well, I think that's a detail that's missing in the thing.
Or that's something that can be brought up
it's more
later
of a,
on?
It's like, more of a quibble, though.
It's because, a quibble, yeah. Right, but it's nothing crazy. But it's like I'm talking about more of why. And I get that they get more into that in later seasons, but it's just interesting.
Okay. Do we want to get into spoilers?
I don't know. I think it's still a hard sell, though. It's a hard sell for anybody who hasn't watched the anime. Visually, it looks cool. Other than that, you're just like, I would just feel like, okay, it's meh. It's meh.
Yeah.
That's how I would leave the...
Well, unfortunately, also...
That's how I would leave Netflix. Cause
American audience, or I should say English-speaking audiences cannot find this movie as a movie of the week or a background movie or a movie that you can just enjoy casually because you have to read the subtitles. So unless you're a fan of Bleach, you would put in the effort. You know, fans of Bleach or people who speak Japanese can probably put in the work without, you know, because they want to or they don't have to put in a lot of work for it. But if you have to read subtitles,
now,
most people don't like doing
they
that.
Did a good job, and they know their audience, and they know how well Bleach did in all countries.
Mm-hmm.
So they have like 8 different languages, subtitle languages for this movie.
Well, Netflix usually has a bunch of them.
Netflix does usually have that. That's what I'm saying, but they do it smart. They don't just have English and Japanese.
Another thing is if I'm going through Netflix and it's something called Bleach, and I see like that weird, like, you know.
The kid with the hair.
And I'm like, what the hell?
Like, yeah.
What is Bleach?
Well, that's how I did the anime.
That's how we made fun of the anime in the beginning.
Yeah.
Like, Clorox. Called, like,
Clorox, right?
Right, exactly.
I guess we won't have a spoiler session. But I will say, though, that it is... I agree with Rob. I don't think I recommend it to most people who are not familiar with the show. Not that anime in general, but just the show. And it's very particular. It's very particular.
Yeah, I would like to show this to some... like. I would like to show some of the creatures.
It's not a lowest common denominator movie.
It is visually pleasing.
Yeah, I would say it is visually pleasing. I can see.
I was surprised by the CGI.
Yes, I was surprised by those monsters.
They actually put money into this one, I think.
For sure.
Yeah, when I saw the first one at night, the first Hollow, I'm like, it's really cool looking. I like the.
Yeah, but the last Hollow looks really fucking good.
Yeah. I like the Spider Hollow too. It all looked really cool. It does have also another thing about it that's very, it's also more like about fans, the only fans will get this, is that the first season, the way it ties up, actually feels like an arc, kind of. It could have been more established in the movie, but it's actually kind of an arc where the whole thing with, how it turns out to be, how it ends. Because the main conflict is simpler. And if you make, the second movie will make way less sense, probably. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
Because it gets crazy.
It gets convoluted?
Yeah, because it's anime. Of course it gets convoluted.
Immediately
after that.
Like, you're like, oh, that was pretty tame for this show. And then you're like, what did I ask for?
Yeah.
Like,
it really is like a prologue.
It's like if you were to skip an episode, you'd be like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah.
One of those things.
Yeah.
And you can say that about most animes.
Yeah.
You can say that about most shows in general, but... This one is really like what exactly did I miss? Not like DBZ where you're like, oh, he was just charging up.
Oh, right.
10 episodes later.
Yeah, right.
He's still charging.
All right.
Ooh, so two new people died.
Anything else? Any other thoughts or whatever?
I liked it. I actually want to see a second part to it. I want to.
Me too.
Hopefully they get their money back and they make a part two.
Me too. But for selfish fan service reasons.
Likewise.
Like I think it was cool enough, like seeing the live action of it, that I want to see how they fucking do it.
So do I.
Yeah.
But I can't recommend this to anybody who has never seen the anime.
Right, but Luke likes it though. So
who doesn't like anime?
Or who can't read?
People who don't like anime can't read.
don't want to put the effort to read.
Everybody that I've met, they're like, I've always wanted to get into MMA, but I just don't want to put the, I don't want to read subtitles. And yeah, I was just like, well,
then you never want to get
then
into
you never want to get into
MMA. Right, you can't say that sentence. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I'll have it dubbed.
I know. Ooh. Very few dubs work, man. Anyway,
hey,
so
that Full Metal Alchemist dub was the shit.
And Bebop is still like my prime.
Still dub. Haven't seen it.
It's great dubbing. I thought you'd seen the movie.
I've seen the movie, yeah.
Then you fucking know the dubbing I'm talking about.
I thought about the show dub.
No, they're both the same.
Oh, I haven't seen the show, so.
God, sorry. I've seen this tree before. Who's on first? Okay. We're going to call it there. Mixed recommendations. Seemingly, if you've seen Bleach, then you know, right. you love it otherwise. Like, oh, you like
honestly,
it.
Honestly, if...
Yeah.
If you want to watch this movie, you've already watched it. If you, you know, this
not necessarily,
not necessarily.
Yeah,
I think so.
But I mean, I hope maybe we clued in a few Bleach fans into it, and they didn't know yeah. that the movie was out, things like that.
The
you never know.
Clorox really picks up.
All right, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, we'll review our third film of the evening, which opens up our marathon with Steven Spielberg's 1970 what one?
1972.
I think it's two.
1972. I'm gonna go with that. 1972. Duel.
Okay. You want to play games?
Get back in the bus, please. Please, come on. Come on, back in the bus.
A business commuter is pursued and terrorized by the malevolent driver of a massive tractor trailer. 1971, not 72, Duel. This is a TV movie, which I don't entirely still know how that works. They stopped around the 90s. I know, like, It, the 90s It movie, it was a TV movie, for example. I guess that just means that it just released on air on TVs and
yeah,
and
not a theatrical theaters, release. Right? That's my understanding.
Because back then, obviously, if it wasn't theatrical, no one gave a shit. Basically, in a nutshell. I'm not saying that's still true or anything. Directed by Steven Spielberg, as we said. Screenplay by Richard Matheson. Story by him as well. And this is one of those things where, you know, you look back on it and you're like, oh, this is the guy. And this is one of those movies because Rob told me this off air, and I looked it up. It's kind of true. About
Luke told you this.
Oh, it was both, Luke. You both are still together all the time. Can't even tell you this apart.
Because I know what you're saying. I know what you're going to say.
Yeah, that George Lucas.
Yeah, that was Luke.
What was the story, Luke? You told it to me better, probably. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah. It was in the Spielberg. It was in the Spielberg documentary. So George Lucas was at a party, and he was like, oh, I'm just going to sneak off and watch this movie to see what this, you know, new Spielberg guy is going to have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he goes, sneaks off, and ends up watching the whole damn thing.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, because it's a tight movie. It's a suspense thriller movie. It's very bare bones. You can see a lot of there's some movies out there like this that are kind of like not gimmicky, but they have very simple plotting that work really well because of its simple plot that you don't need anymore. The movie has no fat on its meat, you know what I'm saying? To cut around, you don't have to, you know, like you can't imagine whatever. But also this is one of those movies that are what if scenario movies. Like, what would you do, Ralph, in that scenario? What would you do, Luke, if you were being pursued mercilessly through the backcountry roads of the United States by this crazy truck driver?
Might be a baby back bitch.
At certain
bust
points
out
in the movie.
The six shooter.
At some points in this movie, like, it kind of like puts yourself in a situation like, would you act what this guy is doing or not? So it's a good movie. I like it. Duel. It's a great first opening for this little marathon here. So, Luke, what did you think of the movie?
It seemed a little dated.
Okay.
That's a joke. That was actually a remarkably well-made movie.
For a TV movie, you mean, or for a movie from 1971?
For a movie that was made for TV, made in, you know, back in 1971, where right. I think they just got Technicolor or something.
Yeah, they had to give props to Technicolor back then in their openings.
Yeah, it was really good. You know, just, you know, got the plot, the, you know, man versus like machine, but there's also that internal struggle.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of internal struggle because, you know.
Yeah, this movie has a lot of like more modern stuff, modern touches that I never think about, I guess, is like the voiceover. There's some voiceovers in this movie.
Yeah, that was actually a nice little thing with the voiceovers.
Cause they weren't everywhere back then, you know.
I wouldn't know, yeah. But I'll take your word for it.
Good, you should. they weren't as over. My point is that they mostly would have is like a narrator or something like that, like an opener, things like that. They would have that for sure. But narration like that, like a voiceover like that, like Memento style. I mean, actually, Memento has way more than this movie. But you know what I mean. Like throughout the movie,
yes,
it's kind of rare. And yeah, overall, it's pretty good. So you liked it. I'm glad for because you usually hate old movies for some reason.
They were just bad.
Not necessarily. Not really true. There's more old movies than there are new ones.
I disagree. Depends where you draw the line.
Where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line?
For him, old is
2 years ago?
2010.
No.
2009.
What is it?
I'm saying, at one point, you know, you draw a line in a year, and it's going to tip, where there's going to be more movies coming out after that year than the year before.
Wait, what?
So let's say there's a million movies, okay?
Okay, yeah.
And if you draw the line at, like, you know, how to explain this? I need a chart, some crayons, and some markers.
Oh, you're saying, like, if you put the line 1995,
right,
and all the movies before that were only a million movies, there could only be more than a million after that.
Exactly.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, but also, that line moves, though.
Yeah, it's always
because when you're 50... A movie from the 90s is classic old. It's fuck old. It's this old. It's 1971 Duel old now.
And I'll be like, man, what was this crap you were watching?
No, that's what I'm saying is that the line constantly moves, so your reasoning is already wrong.
Nope.
Ralph, what did you think of this movie?
Are we done complaining about how old the movie is?
Well, no, I was just kind of like feeding into and also taking down his... Yeah, okay. We're trying to.
My apologies. That was a good yawn. that being said, what did I think of the movie? I think a young director, Stanley Kubrick, would have loved this. No. I think Mr. Steven Spielberg here came out guns blazing, decided to do something radically different, shoot it in a different way. Mm-hmm. I think that any other person would have shot it during those times. Such close-ups to our main character, basically our only character in the movie. Mm-hmm. We do get other visuals of other people's.
Yeah.
Side angles, sneaks of the driver, the truck driver, family. You do see his family. Things of like that. But for the most part, you just get this... like a lot of close-up action on his face, that are what his car is currently doing. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to, you don't leave the general area of the car, or more what you can see in the car. The movie does do different angles, but they try to stick to that as much as possible.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. It's an interesting perspective. Now we're following the main character the whole time, not the car. But since the main character is mostly in the car, we do that. So I think it was an interesting choice to do that, and it was ballsy, but it worked out.
Yeah.
It worked out because the whole movie is based on us trying to feel what that driver is feeling currently. So we want to know what David Mann, that's the character, that's the guy's name, right?
Mm-hmm.
With two N's.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So we want to feel what David Mann is feeling. We also are trying to get his person. We kind of get his persona, and Luke caught on to that during the reviewing of who he is as a person and who he is at the end of this movie compared to who he was in the beginning of this movie. So I really liked the movie. I saw this about a year ago now, and I enjoyed it then, and I still enjoyed it now. So,
yes, I saw this.
It was a weird viewing of me of watching this movie.
Yeah. Oh, was it?
I don't know why I watched this movie. I heard Steven Spielberg, and then I was like, oh, okay. And then I watched it with, some people.
I like the idea of how much more intricate, but basically the same level of intensity he makes car chases. based on this first car chase movie he has. You could see it in the Indiana Jones movies. You can see it in the AI even when it's not even a car chase, but it's, you know, an intense scene. You can see it to this year with Ready Player One with the racing. He has a certain flair that kind of, I'm not saying it's just him, because it feels like normal. It feels like stock. But also, we grew up seeing movies like him and copycats of him, or him copycatting other people, whatever it is, you know, people relating and homaging each other. That it isn't Michael Bay, though, because Michael Bay also does very good chase sequences, but very different.
But what I think Steven Spielberg has done a good job in is reading the literature beforehand, getting into the mindset or getting into what he feels he's viewing or reading or whatever he's interpreting in, and he does a really good job of putting it into actual visuals or his person, his version of it. And that's really cool. That's why I think that's what he did for The Duel, because it's a story, right, that he that was written from somebody.
Great story by the same guy who wrote the screenplay.
Same thing goes for Ready Player One. It's a book written by, you know, the
Ernest Cline.
And you just have that name at your back pocket, don't you?
So written by Ernest Cline. And obviously studied and helped write the screenplay for Ready Player One, or helped with the... I don't know if he helped write it or something. He helped with something in the movie.
Yeah.
He contributed, I believe.
Sure. So obviously he gets into the work of art and he knows how to adapt it. So he actually knows the work of art. He doesn't just... He doesn't just do it for the homework because that's his next project. You know what I'm saying?
No, no.
He gets into it because he wants to get into it. That's what he liked already, and he knows he can make something out of it.
So. Yeah. He also is very good in this movie on creating tension and by taking out elements that are usually associated with action or thriller movies. And that is, like, for example, like, there's long stretches of time where there's no music score. I mean, there's score in the movie for sure, but there's sometimes where there's no score at all.
Yeah, it's just... the element,
and it's just it's just them driving, and obviously you know what's going on. And for example, like, if you walk into the middle of this movie, you probably wouldn't, it wouldn't feel anywhere near as impactful if you had seen it from the beginning, like not knowing the movie.
I agree.
You'd just be seeing two cars driving, but the movie has created it already. It's laid out this groundwork of tension.
I agree that it's like watching a chase scene in a cop chasing a car. And they already went through most of the stuff, and like, what's going on? This guy's chasing him. I'm like, well, why are you watching it? And you're like, what do you mean, like, this is intense? Well, you have missed so much, like, let me get you caught up.
Right,
it's kind of like that,
right?
Watching it from the beginning,
even the premise of why this whole thing starts, which has a changing lanes feel. There's a bunch of movies like this, like Fallout or Falling Down has that too, where like traffic makes people go crazy.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Well, hey, they didn't have Pokemon Go back then. You can imagine some major eggs.
Yeah, clearly. Jesus. But my point is that this is it's almost like it's unbelievable that a guy would go this far to torture this guy. Well, at first it seems like good fun, but there's a point of no return that we'll talk about, I guess. And then it's the point where he wants to kill him, right? Or get him killed. And this truck driver, that because he cut him off. That's it. I mean, that's... You think of it, it's ridiculous.
It was
ridiculous. It's a ridiculous premise when you say the words. But we've all been driving. We've all driven and seen crazy people. I mean, we've seen people get angry over this kind of thing. We've read stories. We've seen the news. So it's not exactly out of the realm of possibility. It's amazing how easily it could happen if someone's so inclined to be crazy to you. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, it's 1971. They didn't have cell phones. Obviously, things like that. So it's different, but the same.
For sure.
Right.
There is dated things in the movie.
Yeah. Like, there's this booth with a telephone inside. I don't get it.
That one only
have
one.
Why would you have that in outside?
They also have outhouses. That's for... It's to live outside. I know it sounds like something else, but it's not. If you ever see an outhouse, just go right in. Should we... What do you guys want to talk about before spoilers, I guess? I definitely want to talk about the end.
I like how you never see the truck driver.
Yeah. That's really cool. That restaurant scene.
Yeah.
Was really good to cement that, because I was like, at first, I'm like, I don't want to see this guy. You know, when I first saw this movie, I was like,
no, at first you're like, do I want to see this guy?
Right.
And then you're like, you can go either way. Yes, I do, or no, I don't. And you're like, and then Mr. Man is looking, is scanning the crowd, you're like, is it that guy? I don't remember wearing a hat. And then you're like, damn it, now I want to know. Like, almost like you, like, yeah. You get, okay. The movie almost forces you, like, damn it, I want to know.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it could be that guy. I don't know, that guy looks shady. Yeah, like,
you're all looking at him shady, too.
Yeah.
What are you saying?
Bunch of shady characters.
Did you want to know? In that scene, Luke, how much did you want to know?
I don't know. I was a little indifferent.
Okay. The reason I was indifferent is because, like, I can never live up to whatever horrible person. Right. It's yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. It's like, you
some
know.
Some guy with like a half a face, you know.
Right. Or God, or like the guy from, you know who I imagine secretly is the biker guy from Raising Arizona?
Okay.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Leonard Smalls, I think his name is. Like, I kind of imagined something like that, right? And obviously, whatever, I didn't want to see it back then. And I'm glad we never did. We never do. And I guess that's a spoiler. But the movie is not about the truck driver. I mean, it is, but his weapon is the truck. His only means.
Yeah, the scarier thing is the truck, not the driver.
Yes, it's almost like the truck has a mind of its own.
Almost.
It's like Christine.
I suppose.
Never seen it. Do you know what it's about?
Is it a car that kills people?
Yeah, it's a sentient car. Stephen King. Yeah. The book is way better, but anyway, it's not. It's okay. All right, so we do love the work and tension. And what do we think of the main actor? How do you guys think of his performance carrying through all the film, you know, going through all the emotions?
Dennis Weaver,
yes. I was about to go there.
Pansy.
He's definitely like a city boy, city guy, business type, right? He talks about accounts and things like that. What I love about him, what he does really well, Dennis Weaver is showing a man that is progressively giving less and less of a shit of his frivolities. Like, when he dismisses his work, the reason he's out there, right, for work, and when he dismisses aspects of his car because he's always, like, he gets the children off the car, things like that, right? And then when he doesn't give a fuck anymore, he goes on top of the car. This is later on when the school bus, right? It's like he's slowly, like, just
even
going down.
After that, he already, like, rammed into a friggin' fence.
Yeah, it was before. Yeah, that happened after. But you know, these things that happen, it's like he's being like whittled away to just like a man trying to survive, right? I kind of like the way the Weaver guy does. He does a good job of showing like the manic and getting there. But otherwise, do we like him as a leading man? Does he hold up for you guys?
I mean, he's all right at first. I mean, he's, you know, he's a wuss at first. You really don't know much about him until the wife's like. Kind of digs into him,
mm-hmm.
and how she kind of like questions him, like how he doesn't stand up or anything.
And then it mirrors that all that radio program about the census. Do you guys remember that?
I mean, I'm pretty sure that was
beginning of the movie.
Yeah,
because he was going through a lot of them, but I wasn't paying attention to.
That
was a longer chunk. It was about the guy. It was about the guy who's
who wasn't the head of the hospital.
He's basically has the woman role if you're looking at those parts.
Right.
And those times.
I mean, back then it's much more disagreeable for him too, right? He is more ashamed, I guess.
He is more ashamed. Yeah. But no one is ashamed for him either. In the show, in the radio program.
Right. I don't think so. No, well, there's no, like, I don't know. Anyway, the point is that it mirrors, I guess, what he feels.
Yeah, it would be,
like, he's maybe emasculated at home.
Maybe.
And maybe puts all his chips down at work, whatever. You kind of just, like, instinctually figure some stuff out.
Right.
Think about what this man's life is. But really what we have to know about him is that he is unfamiliar with life and death situations. He is unfamiliar with people. Because of the way he talks to them. Because, for example, like when he's in that restaurant, when he's trying to figure out who is the truck driver, I would respond. I instantly, my first thought was like, I would have just yelled out, like, whose truck is that? I would have just said out loud and wait for an answer. And then start it. And then proceed from that point. Not like what he did, which is what he...
Assume
this one guy who looked, I guess, a little shady, and the shoes looked just around like what it was, and it harassed him, and then it led to whatever it led to. For example, like that's me, or I would have, you know, oh, what would you guys have done? That's my thing. Is that what would you guys have done?
It's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think the movie begs us to ask that question.
It's kind of like, are there any other routes I could take, you know, to avoid this guy? Or...
No. The highway hasn't been built yet.
Yeah, there's no highways.
Okay.
Just letting you know.
Yeah.
That I have no clue.
That's why we're going through towns.
Yeah, this movie also really works in the time it's made.
Really does.
Yeah.
It's like when, you know, those horrible 90s, early 2000 movies, because like horror movies were really suffering back then. Because cell phones were invented and people had to make excuses to not have cell phones. Because how are you going to make movies now with this easy technology to call cops and ambulances and stuff? Anyway.
Yeah.
It's
a good question. What would I do in that scenario?
Yeah.
Not out, what he did.
Pull out the six shooter.
Not what
not what he did. Yeah, I mean, I would.
And shoot in a flammable gas tank.
You didn't have a gun.
I don't know if I'd be as subtle or as blatant as you are, as you would be.
Oh, you're saying in that restaurant?
In the restaurant, yeah.
Okay.
But I would probably either ask around, not out loud, or wait until he got back to his car.
Well, the reason I would, yeah, what?
The restaurant scene. Was he actually ever in the restaurant?
No, he wasn't. That's the whole point. That's why it was a great head fake.
Yeah.
I love that scene.
I know.
Because, like, he was fucking never in there.
Yeah.
And he was probably just pissing somewhere on the side or something. Oh, not even. Well, I was just waiting for
him. Some folks have, like, a little camper thing in the back, so you can live there.
But yes.
That didn't seem
up
to tight.
Also, this is another great piece. I don't know how intentional this is in the movie making, the filmmaking, but, like, the truck has a flammable written on the side. On both sides, all three sides, right? I think three sides. And the whole time, the first time I saw it, I remember thinking, when is this going to explode? Like, is it going to, like, I can almost let me see the truck being separated from this tanker used in such a...
Well, what's funny is that the first thing that came through my mind, and this is me feeling young and old at the same time, because it's an old episode, but it's way modernized from comparison to this movie, is...
Hang on, Gash.
No, is a Family Guy with the horse blowing up.
With the horse blowing up, got it. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought going with the Tango Cash thing.
No, when he shoots it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he's like...
Like, I can see maybe, like, this guy finds a gun, he shoots it, it's empty.
Yeah.
You know, like another foil. Because also, the whole world works against our David Mann guy. Have you noticed that, guys? Like, for example, there's this one scene where he... Actually, can we get spoilers, if you guys don't mind?
Yeah.
Okay. Wait, we're going to spoil a movie from 1971?
Well, we should still have separation of spoilers, yes. Spoiler starting right now.
Weird place for a telephone booth.
Operator. I'd like to report a truck driver that's been endangering my life.
In that case, I'll have to give you the police, sir.
Right, well, give me the police.
Sir, which department do you want?
Whichever's closer.
What number?
This number is 9821.
What's your name, sir?
David Mann.
How do you spell that,
please? M-A-N-N. That's two N's. I'd like to report a truck driver that's been endangering my life.
David Mann. This is towards the end. Obviously, this is like a half hour before it ends, I mean. And remember the scene when he gets... he manages to get far enough away from him so he can hide out in that little... by the tracks.
Yes.
And he sleeps there for like an hour or so.
We don't know what
we don't know how long he sleeps.
By the way, this whole thing takes in daytime. I thought it would go into night. Never does.
Never does it.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
But also much harder to shoot this kind of movie at night with the technology they had back then. So totally understand why they kept it daytime. That's interesting. Anyway, he sleeps there, right? And he drives, right? He thinks he's gone. This guy, he finds him later on, like a half mile down the road or whatever, waiting for him. I would, and remember he tries to go past them and he blocks them. Like, what would, I mean, my first instinct is like, why couldn't you just wait for a car to come up and then go right behind a pedestrian's car to try to advance with two cars right ahead. Or something like that. Something to try to trick them to make them, like, not be able to immediately start chasing you, right? Because it's a big truck. He still has to do a whole three-point goddamn turn to get out to face your way, right? That's the only hindrance that's his advantage. He can easily do U-turns. This truck cannot. Although sometimes this truck is doing crazy things that are, you know, seem harder, but also maybe not. Do you guys think that, like, is this a cause of, like, you know, being adrenaline fueled and stupid, or is it just a character not being, I guess?
I think this character represents, he's like the elitist in comparison to what our truck driver is.
You're a truck guy. You're a car guy, Ralph. Is this car like expensive, or what do you think of his car?
It's flashy.
Okay.
I mean,
it's nothing crazy. Okay. I'll tell you that much.
Well, I don't know.
Sure, there's nothing crazy about it, but it's not a hoopty. It's not a. It's. I mean, any car nowadays would beat it, but.
Yeah, I know.
But at the same time, like it's a good car, and he obviously takes care of it, and it's meant to look good. It's meant to be say, look at me. Mm-hmm. I have this nice bright orange car that's well maintained, right? And that's probably cost more than your car and that other guy's car. That's what it looks like. And that's the whole image you're trying to put out. And that's basically the image he's putting out there is that I can afford a car like this.
The whole time I'm thinking like, man, I bet he regrets buying a bright color car because he can this guy can spot him anywhere.
Right, exactly. Any other color would have been fucking phenomenal. Yeah, so you have that going for you. In comparison to this guy, I think the biggest thing in the movie is kind of showing you like it's almost like this guy doesn't even deserve the car, because he doesn't know what to do with it. He knows how to drive, but barely. In comparison to our truck driver knows how to drive.
Oh, he knows the ins and outs of that.
He knows the ins and outs of his car. And yeah. If it was a truck driver, it was the opposites. If it was the opposites, I think this driver would have got away.
Yeah.
In the car.
Yeah. Wouldn't know the limits of the car, wouldn't know the limits of the truck, how to take advantage of it.
Right.
There's that whole thing with the radio host. Nice comeback, by the way.
Nice comeback.
Callback, sorry. Say it again.
Yeah, the whole thing's
going.
I heard that one before.
Yeah. It's not on.
Yeah.
Okay. Say that again.
Oh, I thought you forgot what I said, but it was like, like,
nice comeback before.
Yeah. Like, whatever, I heard that one before.
Right, that one.
And then we tried to sell you, oh, yeah, you need a new radiator hose.
Yeah, he should have checked it. How much do you fucking...
Well, what's funny is that he does get it. He's about to get it checked again. And then that's when the whole payphone thing.
Yeah, that's the point of no return for me.
Of course, that is the point of no return. So what do you think... Did he see him making the phone call? And he thought, oh, it's over.
He's calling the cops. He's probably deciding what to do. Like, should I wait for him to start driving? Maybe the cops won't make it. We're far away. No, I should probably stop him from giving him descriptions of my car, and that's why he decides to run him over. I don't know what he's thinking, but it's interesting
also,
to think why he was
waiting.
Also,
does not know how to spell man?
M-E-N-N-A-E-I.
Wow. Menenen. Menenen. Yeah, so a lot of these interesting things happen. Yeah, but once he starts fucking up with other people's shit, like that rattlesnake gas station lady.
Yeah,
what a weird combo, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when he's like, oh, okay, this guy is, this guy's clearly deranged or imbalanced for sure. He's fucked up to take such a grudge to such a level, right?
I want
to
see a movie with the truck driver's point.
Did you guys ever think that he's done this before?
That's another interesting one. Serial killer of the road?
Yeah, serial killer of the road. He picks on people that...
That look like this guy? City guys?
Yeah, that look like this guy or that look like pushovers. And so that's the whole thing in the movie. Like I said, Luke alluded to it when we saw it, and he brought it up also, where he's a pushover. He doesn't want conflict. He doesn't want to deal with conflict.
And most people don't.
And most
I agree, but
some people know how to put a stop to it.
Yes.
There's a difference of not wanting conflict and knowing how to say, hey, yo, tone that shit down or bring it up because I'm, I don't want conflict, but if I have to get into conflict, I will.
Right.
Kind of scenario, you know?
Okay.
There's a big difference, you know, between a guy like that and a guy who's like, let's let everything go, you know, whatever. Which is who he is. And I think that's who he thinks he's going for. He's going against a guy who is a pushover.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what he's trying. He thinks that. And what we get is a guy who is a pushover, but really never wanted to be one. He just happens to be one. And he finally comes to be.
What's the thing? Do you think he overcomes that? I can argue that he doesn't.
You can argue that he doesn't. I agree. I can see what you can argue. But I can argue
that he does.
That he does by simply living.
Right. It's right because he forgoes the one thing that was keeping him alive is the one thing he had to get rid of to stay alive, and that's his car.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting thing to think about.
So
I think
okay.
Oh, and I think relinquishing his car in that big gambit that he does at the end, none of it seemed planned at all. He happened to go up at that end. He had enough road to do this. He just thought of it then. He used his briefcase to do it. Like, it's all symbolism, right? And him doing it at the end felt like a gambit. It didn't feel like him overcoming this character flaw of his to, you know, backing down to every situation life gives him.
Yeah.
It is a fuck you to it. He is. That's his version of it. But, like, I don't think he... I don't know if it was earned. I mean, he definitely deserved. I'd rather have this guy I know live over this maniac who I don't know.
Exactly. I agree. Obviously. I 100% agree. So the only reason I bring up is that, has this guy ever done it before? He's got around his car license plates from other states.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed that,
and
too.
You could think some looked cleaner than others. So, like, maybe that one was his first kill or his trophies. Exactly. Yeah.
Pretty ballsy, by the way. We could just look him up and like, oh, this is a vehicular manslaughter we saw 3 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. But
I think back then, depending on where you were driving, you might have had to have like...
Yeah, that's another thing,
if you
though.
Were like, working out of those states.
Exactly.
That could be another thing.
That could be another thing, yeah.
You're right.
That's why
That's interesting.
Is there...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think this guy was too good at chasing this guy, this predator guy, this truck driver guy? You think he was too good, like unrealistically good, or do you think it was, like?
No, I just think he knew how to drive on the road. He knew his where he could beat him and where he can lose.
Mm-hmm.
He loses on the uphill. I know that. I'm not an idiot.
Right.
The guy's load is gigantic.
I mean, we all saw Mad Max Fury Road.
Sure. Huh. The guy's load is gigantic, so going uphill for him takes forever, and it struggles. He's on the struggle bus. He can't push his car too hard. Mm-hmm. And he knows that. This guy didn't even know that. And that's why his gasket blew, or his radiator gasket. Right?
Yeah.
So radiator hose blew. But you have that issue. And on the downhill, he doesn't even have to try. He could hit the gas a little bit, and his fucking payload's taking him all the way down there.
Yeah.
Like the sheer weight of it is like, but dude, let's just go on neutral and I can beat you. Like, almost. You know, that's so there's the, and I think he knows that. So on a straightaway, the truck has way more horsepower than that car.
Yeah.
So on a straightaway, it's like a muscle car. A muscle car almost always win than a soup, like then you know, what's it called? Because the muscle car is the big ass engine, right? In comparison to like a turbo engine. Sure, the guy's gonna go faster, right? But at first, with the muscle car, in theory, you'll get there fast. You'll reach a higher speed, you know.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. I just hope those cars had power steering.
None of them had power steering.
None of them had
that. I think power steering in 1971, maybe? Let's look this up.
Yeah, let's just wait to hear until... No.
I think it existed.
So I like how I like these kind of movies also where as soon as the conflict is done, it ends. You don't need him driving at home. I don't need to see a year later going back to that cliff or something. Did you worry, Rob, when you first saw it, that because I don't know if you remember this. So he's right before the truck goes over the hill or the ravine, cliff, whatever.
The edge.
Thank you. And everything's on fire, right? And his car is on fire, the orange car.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And he opens the driver's side door. Do you think he got out right before he fell through? Do you think it was going to be something at that point? I don't know if you guys noticed that.
I thought we were going to see a body. I thought we were going to see something.
Hmm.
But we didn't get anything. So I don't know.
No, the movie kept to his guns.
Sure,
I like that.
Yeah. I do like that the movie kept to his guns.
Did you notice that he opened the driver's side door right before he actually fell over?
Yeah. So, but it could go either way. He could be dead either way.
No, I think he is dead. I'm saying, but like...
Sure, yeah. There was a slight moment where you're like, oh, the door's open.
Yeah.
And you do have that moment of hesitation. And you're waiting the whole time for this car to blow, this truck to blow up.
Yeah.
Also, which never does.
The movie does such a good job of keeping you in the moment of everything and the suspense of where is this truck driver. This truck could be anywhere. When he loses him, he's like, it could be anywhere. When he stops somewhere talking to people, he's like, it could be anywhere.
Yeah.
You don't know where he is. You don't know where he's waiting for. It could be, like, I keep thinking, like, he's going to turn and he's going to be off in the distance. There's a scene when, back to where he, when he's sleeping in his car and the train's passing by, the train that woke him up, right?
Yeah.
I remember thinking with, even this time again, I thought it again, like, oh, he's, when the train passes, he's going to be right behind the
that's
train.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah. And nope, and obviously it wasn't. It's because that's stupid. Why would it do that? But I just thought of it because it's like a ghost, like a serial killer movie. You know,
yeah.
So it goes right behind that drawer or whatever.
Yeah, it does do that for you.
So it's a really good job of that. So it's a really good movie in tension and suspense and stuff like that. So it seems to me like we all recommended. I will watch this again even. It's a good movie. It's an easy watch. 90 minutes, pretty short. In Technicolor, guys, so I recommend
it. It's the best type of color.
Yes. Yes. Any last words, or are we good now for Duel? Why is it called Duel?
Of the truck not blowing up.
Yeah.
Realistic. That's fine.
Yeah,
yeah, of course.
Because apparently the studio wanted to
of course.
Reshoot it.
Of course.
I mean, we have flammable the whole
time. We still want to do it today, okay? So, yeah. But I'm glad it didn't.
No, just give it that nice, slowing death.
It keeps it all realistic. It's really grounded. Everything in this movie could happen today. That's the ideal, right? That's what makes it... That's why some of these horror movies work better. Because it could be realistic. It's realistic. It's not Michael Myers, right? You know what I'm saying? It's not unrealistic. Nothing
for sure.
Is done... Right. The way people react could be different, but that's really it. So that's our review of Duel, our first Spielberg film. Pretty good upcoming startup guy from 1971. Let's see what he does next. And you have been listening to another movie podcast. For feedback, you can always send it to podmoviecast@gmail.com. Check out, again, our website, otherpodcast.com, for when the show airs and others will come out later. You can follow me at Letterboxd and on Twitter at Armen Filmmaker, which is filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N. Ralph?
You could follow me on Twitter at Gamer Ralph. That is with two R's and an F.
Okay.
I'm following you in a truck.
Nice.
Twitter, Slothmaster Luke.
Slothmaster Luke. Remember, we are bi-weekly show. We come out every other weekend. Next time, I chose the next roster here. It's going to be Venom, starring Tom Hardy, which I am mixed on.
Super mixed on.
Anticipation-wise.
Like
but it is Tom Hardy.
So. I almost want to watch A Star Is Born because I know.
I almost chose A Star Is Born, but I didn't.
But I almost rather watch A Star Is Born because I know what I'm going to get with A Star Is Born in comparison to what I don't know what I'm going to get with.
Better the devil you know than the one you don't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Venom is one. The other is it's a documentary that's going to be out available in wide release to rent or buy by then. It's going to be Three Identical Strangers. I heard great things about this movie. Can't wait to see it. What, Luke?
And then we have our marathon pick.
Yes.
The Sugarland Express.
Is this yours?
Yes. Maybe, yeah.
It is.
I mean, we could look at our notes, guys. We have the thing here. Luke. Yeah, it's one of yours, Luke. Yeah. So this one.
I know it's not one of mine, so.
Well, there you go. Then.
There you go.
I know it's not mine.
I knew it was Luke's. It's fine.
We're all here. We all should know our picks.
I know my picks.
All right, so that's going to be out in the next 2 weeks. Until then, guys, I am Oscar.
Ralph.
I turned my mic off. I'm Luke.
That was first day. Later.
You will not remember the last hour and a half of what you have just seen. You will forget the contents of this movie.